everybody. This is Ellie.
And this is Annie.
And welcome to Those Spooky Bitches. So what we decided to do right now is just kind of an introduction. We may or may not fit a story in later, but just kind of getting to know both of us and everything. We are a little bit delayed on our recordings because back problems and ill problems and life just kind of gets in the way. So we're finally here.
So excited to be here.
Oh, my goodness. So, Annie, what exactly got you into true crime and supernatural? And I know it's a lot to kind of unpack, but...
Oh, my goodness. I feel like I started... So, I feel like they're two separate things, but also the same. If we're talking about, supernatural, I feel like that was something we'll definitely cover in a later episode in depth. But it just kind of was always part of who I was. My whole life was kind of about death in a weird way, just from things that happened in childhood and that sort of stuff. And so supernatural was so easy for me because it was just part of my life. And then, you know, one thing leads to another. You start researching stuff, fall down a bunch of rabbit holes, and etc. And then true crime really kind of, you know, I was always had a thing for horror movies, even though I probably shouldn't have had a thing for horror movies. I always had a thing for horror movies, and that just kind of, developed into real life. That sounds weird. But,
she's not actually killing anyone.
No, I'm not murdering anyone currently. But just kind of, learning about these different cases, and, you know, it kind of becomes an addiction after a while.
It really does.
There's so many different cases that you can, one, learn from. One thing I really like about true crime, aside from the spooky part of it, is the fact that it leads to change in justice, and it helps to preserve safety in the future. It helps people think more about what possibilities are out there for safety, that sort of thing.
I'm actually one of those just random sidetracks. Literally, true crime kind of saved my life one time when I was in Memphis, because I was at the mall and this guy was kind of creeping around one of the department stores, and he had his arm in a sling and all of these bags. And when I had gone outside, he asked me to help him to his car. And I tried to politely say that, you know, Ted Bundy already ruined that for you. I'm not going to help you to your car.
Not today.
Not today. So, yeah, it's researching things like that, too. You really are more cognizant of the world around you as well.
Absolutely. Definitely more aware of, the tricks that people can pull. My brain just doesn't work that way. I don't have the ability to think of, how can I manipulate this person into a van, you know, I just don't think that way. So I'm not expecting other people to be doing that to me or others.
Yeah.
And so it's these cases are so interesting because it brings up such a psychological perspective.
Yes.
That I can't relate to in a way.
I'm just fascinated by it. What drove you to be who you are and to do these things that you have the capacity to do?
And some of it is just pure evil genius.
Yes.
It's the mind in general. I have a minor in psychology, and so the mind in general has always fascinated me. But the fact that some of these folks have this... It's almost second nature that they just know that they can do these horrible things. I just can't understand it. So the more I hear about it, it's opening my eyes to a different world.
And two, especially when you're researching a lot of killers, especially your more classic killers, I guess you would say, you're watching them evolve and the things that they've done, because it's I can get away with this, can I get away with that? Mm-hmm. And then they start to evolve into more monstrous beings. Mm-hmm. Because they're having to push their own limits of what can I get away from. And then it's just a deadly game of cat and mouse, because they're ready to run around and do whatever they want to do, and they wonder how long it's going to be before someone actually catches them, or they're so obsessed and they are just so egotistical that they feel like they'll never get caught.
Right.
So, and unfortunately, we're going to cover a lot of those as well, right. The unsolved ones that we have no idea, sometimes even who the people were,
right.
Much less the murderers.
Right. I think it's also interesting, too, to kind of look through their history as to, how they got, what is their backstory?
Oh, yes.
You know, I think it's one thing to, not to, you know, it's kind of a thin line, so to speak, where you don't want to romanticize the killers, because then, in a way, they get what they wanted.
Exactly.
And that kind of, you know, it goes against justice for the victim. But at the same time, you want to understand, as a human being, how do you get to the place that you think it's okay to take a life, multiple lives at that, and, you know, what does that mean?
And what other, you know, things too, like what drives you to want to assault people, to hurt children, to turn on your mother, you know, of course, there's just so many different things, to get into Ed Kemper and all that kind of stuff too, which we'll do later. But yeah, it is mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. It really is just what drives you to become that person. And then, for instance, like Ed Kemper, you turn around and you look like there's some empathy there for other people, but not in another situation.
It's so strange. And then it's like all these people that, or these killers that have these, that on the outside, they appear...
personalities.
They appear to be these normal, quiet human beings. And then now I'm walking around the grocery store at Publix, like, you got bodies in your basement?
Exactly. Like, or in your car right now?
Right.
You're trying to secretly put your groceries away?
That's just, like, how my brain is working these days, where I'm like, what's your secret?
Mm-hmm. Always. And I hate to say this, but ever since I started driving, I've literally had to be the person with my keys as a young woman threaded through my hand so I can punch somebody if I have to, which is horrible. You know, it's awful that you have to think that way.
Right.
But because I was raised believing in and reading about true crime, that's just the way that it was, you know, trying to protect myself.
And I feel like just as a woman in general, this is like a tangent in itself, but as a woman in general, there's a lot of things that we might worry about from a physical assault standpoint, if we're not even just talking about murder, talking about safety in general, that maybe other people aren't as worried about. Like, I might think twice about walking into Walmart at 9 p.m. when the sun is down by myself, as opposed to during the daylight.
I actually lived not too far off campus whenever I was in Memphis, and there were multiple times where there would be a just group of guys on one of the streets that I would normally cut through, and I would take that extra time to go around a different street because I didn't want to walk through a whole bunch of college guys that I didn't know and who were, you know, they could do so many things to me, whether they would or wouldn't. I wasn't taking that chance.
Right.
So yeah, it's just insane how people are. But as far as I go, like, I remember my great-grandmother when I was really, really little, I had this little pamphlet that she gave me. It was such an odd little thing, and it was, like, fun facts about serial killers, just to kind of narrow it down. It was, like, Black Dahlia, Green River Killer, just everybody, and it was just kind of, like, who they were and a little bit about them, and I always thought that that was so interesting, and my mother hated it. She was just, like, trying to always get that away from me. But my uncle, who I will not name, he actually worked the Manson murders.
It's very Voldemort of you.
My uncle that shall not be named. Even though he's my godfather and I love him dearly. I say hi to you guys, even though I know you're not listening. I know my other aunts are listening. But he actually got me my very first true crime book, which was Helter Skelter by Vincent Bugliosi. And like I said, my uncle actually worked those murders. And that going on, you also had the Golden State Killer, Night Stalker, all this stuff in the same time frame. And, you know, for him being a cop was insane. But I really was just always, now that I'm thinking about it, like how my aunt must have felt by herself at home raising a child in the 60s and the 70s, you know, 80s, 90s. And your husband's a cop. He's off on all of these insane cases. Like, how would you feel? Like, were you relaxed like everybody else back then and you still left your doors unlocked? Or were you more like after the Golden State Killer really became prevalent, people were sitting around in armed shifts, you know, just kind of while other people were sleeping, they were installing more security. I'm just fascinated on what it was like to have lived through that time period, honestly, whenever you're normally so carefree coming out of the 60s and stuff.
Right.
And it's a different world that is quickly evolving, or descending, I should say, maybe into chaos when it comes to stuff like that. Like, you just can't be too trusting anymore or anything like that.
And now with, like, social media in general, you hear about something that happens and you get to watch the case unfold. Like, the Gabby Petito case is the most recent one that I can think of off the top of my head, just kind of watching her case unfold in real time. You know, back then in the 60s, 70s, there wasn't this push for quick media where you could just like turn something on and see, oh, 10 minutes ago so-and-so got hijacked and, you know, whatever, can we find where are they? Which is great as far as technology is concerned, but kind of interesting perspective back then if people were just oblivious for however long and then yeah. suddenly figured it out, or how did that go, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, it is. It's mind-blowing, because then at that point you were either the neighbors, especially, like, I keep going to Golden State because I just read Michelle McNamara's book, so it's also, like, so fresh, but they were all within a lot of the same spots and a lot of same people, so they had like their little neighborhood watches going on, but he'd be at this house one night and this house the next, and just like, and he had so much arrogance that he did this even though he knew there were cops around.
And there's so many, like, so many instances.
Yes,
it wasn't just like one or two, which no. of course we can talk about that in depth.
Oh yes,
as well. We have so many things to talk about.
So many.
Also, if you have requests for things,
yes,
let us know.
Yes, we do have an email, and I'm going to actually add that to the, I'll add that to the Spotify on this episode, and I will also be adding it to our Instagram account and everything. We're still kind of slowly getting started up here, so I do have those things ready to roll. We'll announce that a little bit later as well.
Follow us on Instagram, all of that, so that you can get updates on real time, you know, the happenings with the pod. And then if you have any cases you want us to cover, or any topics, supernatural topics, stories, folklore, if you have a horror story, not a horror story, that's kind of sad. A
if you survived story. A horror story.
I mean, honestly, I would love that.
Oh, yes. I'm all about you badasses, like, making it through. You go.
I would love to hear all about that. Even, you know, paranormal experiences, whatever you got, write them up, send them to us. We'd love to read them. Let us know if we can share them with our audience as well, because, you know, I think we've got a lot of stuff to talk about, man. I'm real excited.
Oh, yeah. Like, at first, I was kind of paralyzed by, like, okay, what are we going to talk about? I'm like, wait, no, if we're going to talk about everything, we're going to talk about everything.
We're going to talk about it all. We're letting it all hang out.
Oh, yeah. And like Annie, I actually did have my own little stuff whenever I was little, hoping to talk to my sister and do like a little interview with her at some point, because one of the houses that we used to live in, for years and years and years, I thought it was just me being crazy, because that's kind of how you were told as a kid, like you're imagining things. Me being chased down the hallway and then also in my dreams definitely was not imagining all that stuff, because my sister also went through it. My father recently admitted to, hey, yeah, no, this place was totally haunted that we lived at. And even my brother, I don't really talk to him very much, but even he was having issues whenever he would come to visit us. So that started very early.
That's
so interesting. I'm stoked about all of the possibilities here that we can actually talk about, because we believe you.
We believe you. It is real. Well, speaking about childhood stories and folklore, our first episode is going to be on the Bell Witch.
It will be, yes.
Which is an infamous, I don't want to say fairy tale, because it's not like princesses and rainbows, an infamous phenomenon, how about that, in the area close to us, so keep your ears out for that. We'll have that out soon.
I'm very excited about that one, because that was my number one, like, thing growing up, and even now, you don't mess with the Bell Witch.
Oh, you sure don't, and honestly, I don't want to try.
No. We had that whole, so for us, it was like that whole Bloody Mary Candyman thing, where you would go in the bathroom, turn out the light, say your name three times, and no. I never once did it. I was too chicken. I was like, I'm not messing around with this.
Me either. And I don't even really, which we'll get into that later. I'm going to save that for the next time. So check that out with us as well. And that's really all I think we have for this episode.
Yeah, so. I think that's it. Just kind of getting to know, y'all getting to know us a little bit more. I'm pretty excited about this little journey we're about to go on.
Me too.
So, yeah, we will get back with you guys here soon with our next episode, and we will try to also get photographs, like if we're doing specific cases, I wanted to try to upload photos onto Instagram that were pertinent to the previous episodes. So, yes, I will go on and post a Bell Witch photo on our Instagram page, just as a reminder, I guess, that we'll do it pretty soon and everything, and that's going to be our next little thing. So
perfect. I'm so excited. Make sure you subscribe,
like,
rate, comment, all the things that you can do wherever you're listening to us at. And thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate you guys letting us live our dream out.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Okay,
obviously.
Until next time.
All right, guys, bye.
Bye.